The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Tomorrow is a big day, right? Anybody know what tomorrow is? I thought you were going to say the day after the Super Bowl, but yeah, it's Valentine's Day, and I've got a weird history with Valentine's Day. I'm going to tell you guys probably more than you ever. No, I'm not going to tell that one. Don't worry. I'm going to tell you guys different stories from time to time. And Valentine's Day has just been a weird holiday for me. Like, I never really know where Valentine's Day is going to go. Like, for instance, I was dating a girl and I made her this nice home-cooked chicken Alfredo meal. I mean, like, I didn't buy the sauces. Like, I homemade them. I had roommates, and so I set aside a little, like, candlelit table in our apartment that was, like, just she and I were going to eat there, and pulled out all stops, and she broke up with me that night after the dinner. I mean, like, Valentine's Day's been rough, y'all. Like, it's just been rough. Like, in another time, like, this was probably, even though that one was bad, I think this one was the worst Valentine's Day I've ever had. I was in high school, and I borrowed my mom and dad's car because they had a real nice car, and I was going to take this girl out to eat, and we were going to go. I think it's actually chicken Alfredo, because anytime chicken Alfredo is involved in my Valentine's Day, it's bad. And so, like, we go out to eat, and at the time, I'd blown my knee out, and so I was on crutches, and I had, like, a brace from, like, here to here. And so I'm driving this girl, and we went out to dinner, and then we were going to go watch a basketball game because that's super romantic, you know. And so we're driving, and I didn't realize this, but the medicine I was on for my knee, I wasn't supposed to take and, like, eat certain things, and so I don't know. So here I am driving down the interstate with a busted knee, on crutches, in my mom and dad's car with my Valentine's date next to me, and, like, you know, all of a sudden something down here doesn't sit real good. I'm like, I don't know if it was a chicken Alfredo or if it was a medicine, but I'm sitting there and I'm driving down the interstate. I'm like, how am I going to do this? There's no hope. And so all of a sudden what was inside of me came out onto the car and her and everything. Needless to say, Valentine's Day was ruined that year. I'm trying to, like, hobble out of the car and, like, on the interstate and clean myself off and clean her off. And then I have to go to Kmart, which is the only, I don't know if y'all remember Kmart. That was the only store that was close, and buy us both, like, baggy sweatpants that we could wear the rest of the night because both of our clothes were ruined. Valentine's Day, and I realized that Valentine's Day is not my holiday. And when this week, we were talking as a staff, and we were like, hey, you know, I kind of wanted to give them a heads up. This is where we're going, like, sermon-wise, and this is what we're going to talk about. And so in my mind, when I said this to you, Max, I said, you know, February 13th, yeah, it's Super Bowl Sunday, but really it's the day before Valentine's Day. We're going to talk about marriage because this month is Family and Marriage Month, and everything just kind of worked itself out. And then I had this moment where I was like, are you really supposed to be talking about marriage? Like, you've been married there are people going to be in this room that have been married longer than you've been alive. Like, who are you that's going to, and literally this week, Satan has brought up every single failure in a relationship, every single embarrassing Valentine's Day that I've ever had in my entire life. Satan has brought it up to me because he's like, who are you to talk about marriage? I'm like, good point. I really don't know who I am to talk about marriage. But what I found is this, and this I'd love to tell you that I found this out and it changed my life before I got married, but that's not true. See, I went into marriage, I went into relationships in my past, and so today we're going to talk about relationships. I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but, like, back before when, like, for those of y'all that are, like, students in the room, back before, like, you had cell phones and you could text, you had to have this thing called define the relationship talk. Does anybody remember that? Like, for my parents, it was like, are you going steady or not? And it's like, I don't know if steady is the rocky. I don't know. But, like, the steady was the relationship talk. When I was growing up, it was like, are you dating or are you seeing each other? And, like, it changed a little bit. And then now it's like, are you snapping or are you, like, exclusive? Or I don't know. But, like, there's this point in time in every relationship where you have to kind of have this talk, and you have to define where this relationship's going, right? You have to define what it means. And I would love to tell you, like I said, that I had this realization, I had this thing before I got married, but probably it wasn't until about 2 years, no, it's probably 3 years into my marriage with Kelsey when this thing finally came to light. When this concept, when this relationship talk that we're going to look at today really stuck with me, and I got it, and I understood. Listen, I got married late in life. I was 30, I think, when we got married. Close. Something like that. 29, 30, I don't know. But I was, you know, I had tons and tons and tons of failures before that. At some point in time, you'll probably hear it, and I'm a breaking news. I was engaged before I was engaged to Kelsey. And it was probably the most ill-advised and ugly proposal and engagement that you could ever imagine. And I'm sure at some point in time, she'll love to tell you the story because she likes to make fun of me for it. But like when I look back of my history of relationships, man, I see failure after failure after failure. And that's tough to swallow. And I wish I'd have known this then. Because if I'd have known this then, some of those failures, some of those upsets, some of those heartbreaking moments that I had to sit through and those terrible Valentine's dates that I went through could have been avoided if I would have known this. And so I want to share with you this morning because maybe you've heard this before. And again, I don't have all the advice and wisdom and knowledge that you all have when it comes to marriage. But I can tell you that this about relationships in general. And we're going to look this morning at husbands and wives and relationships in marriage is the passage that we're going to be in. But there's something in the midst of all this that I think when Peter talks about this in the passage, he points to this later also. And so this morning, if you'll just humor me, we're going to try and talk about husbands and wives and marriage and relationship talks. We're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter writes this, Likewise, wives, be subject to your husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of your hair, the putting on of gold and jewelry, or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of your heart, with the imperishable beauties of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. So we're going to stop there because that's really all we need to know, right? Wives, be subject to your husbands. I like it. Everybody good? We can just adjourn and go home now. But like when I read this, it does a trick on me. Because as I read through this and I read through these six verses, it starts out and it's very like cut dry. Wives, be subject to your husbands. But then Peter does this transition and he goes in and he talks about the adorning of yourself and the clothing you wear and how you braid your hair and what you wear and all these different things. And then he jumps back into giving you a reference of how Sarah was submissive to Abraham. And it's like, what is he doing? Like, why would you do that? Like, why would you talk about being submissive and then talk about what you wear and then talk about being submissive again? Except for it was a practice in that time to when they wrote, this is a style of writing where the author would do this intentionally. They would do this intentionally because they wanted to emphasize the point. You say, well, what's the point? I think Peter's point is this, that wives, your beauty comes from the inside. It's what's inside that makes you attractive. He goes back and he talks about the submissive part, but then he says these all these other things that you do to try to make yourself attractive, it's really the submissive side that is attractive. That's really what gets people. That's what impresses God, and that's what impresses men. And he gives you these ideas as you read through them that they're subject, they're respectful, they're pure. And then this idea of strength, the subject is not so much obeying. And we're going to look at that in just a second. But when he says, wives, be subject to your husband, it's your conduct. It's how you conduct yourself. Do you conduct yourself in an honoring way to your husband? Again, we're going to come back to that in a second. But they're respectful. They're not out to pick a fight. And husbands, I'm not going to ask you that question because I don't want to start a riot. But you ever like have your wife ask you a question and you know, it does not matter how I answer this, I'm going to be wrong. And she is going to tell me I'm wrong later. Because, and wives, you, maybe you're not going to be honest with me, but you know, you can be honest with yourselves. Do you ever ask a question just to kind of pick a fight? Like, he's done something, and you know he's done it, and you're a little angry about it, and so, like, you ask something or you do something because you know it's going to be that little straw that's going to push him over the line. And then there's going to be a fight. And then, listen, I like fighting with my wife now because we get to, like, make up and kiss, and, like, it's great. Like, it's awesome. But I also know that, like, there are times in life where the tendency for girls, for women, is this. I'm going to say something that's going to pick the fight. I want to get my point across, so I'm going to say this. When he says respectful there, it's this idea that you're not going into conversations, you're not going into things looking to pick fights. He talks about pure. The idea of purity comes out in these six verses, and it's this, that you're above question. You're pure. When someone looks at you, they don't see this, and they say, well, that could be, or that could be. It's this thing that you're above question. And then he ends with one of the strangest statements, I think, in Scripture. When you look back at verse 6, he says this. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. What? That doesn't even make any sense. Except it kind of does. Because I think what it means is that, wives, your strength is your fearlessness. Is where other people would be afraid, you have this confidence, this steadfastness, there it is. You have this ability to not be intimidated or afraid by circumstances or things that are before you. It's this silent strength that just works its way into your life. I did some research on this and tried to kind of figure out, and it was interesting because according to Men's Health Magazine or something like that, what got men's attention was, what do you think? Physical appearance. Yeah, right. It was like 60-something percent of men were attracted, the first thing they noticed about their spouse, their significant other, was their physical appearance. But then I went on and I did some further reading and I found out that what kept men in their marriages, anybody know what it was? It was their character. It was who they are. Their conduct is what kept them. And so this morning, wives, all I can tell you is this, is that God is more attracted to your character than your physical appearance, and so are men. Wives and ladies in the room this morning, I want you to realize that your character is where your true beauty is found. And I understand I'm not a woman, and so I'm talking to you, and you're like, how do you know that? Because I've watched these things. I've tried my best. I've been through enough failed relationships. I've been through the ups and the downs and the goods and the bads and the uglies. And I've dated some goods and bads and uglies. And I've seen all those different things. And what's kept me in relationships, what's kept me married to my wife, is the character. It's who she is at her core. So this morning, ladies, if you're in the room, beauty comes from the inside. Now, guys, we're not off the hook because he transitions real quick and he goes into verse 7. He says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Guys, we can do this, right? This is easy, like, live with your wife. She's there one way or the other. That's the one thing I always tell new couples. It's like, hey, when you get married, they're there at the end of the day. Like, there is no, like, you know, like, I can go home to my place, she can go to her place. Like, they're there. So I can live with my wife. That's easy. There's this next phrase, though, that's so interesting. It's showing honor to the woman. And you're like, what is that even? Okay, I show honor to her. When you think about honor, right, it's the respect due. Anybody ever heard that? Honor is the respect due. You honor your teachers. Parents love this verse because children are to honor their father and mother. You're to show me the respect that I deserve. And that's very true. All those are very true statements. But there's also this context in Scripture. There's this meaning in Scripture when this phrase honor is used that's different. It's not just showing the respect due, it's this. It would be like if I'm friends with Mr. Leo, I hope we're friends. If I'm friends with Mr. Leo, people think higher of me simply because I'm friends with Mr. Leo. This term honor means that you cast respect on somebody else. Just by my association with someone, people think higher of them because of their association with me, or they think higher of me because of my association with them. When Scripture uses this term honor, it's the idea that you are casting your respect, your greatness onto somebody else. So it says, husbands, cast your greatness onto your wives. Let people look at her and think higher of her because of how you live your life. How do you do that? Well, husbands, your strength comes from honoring your wife. The way you do that is by you be understanding. Anybody ever know that women are just different? Well, husband, guys, are your wives different or is it just me? They're different. Oh. You got to be careful. For instance, I noticed this, and this is something that always cracks me up. Kelsey and I have different, like, upbringings, backgrounds, and stuff like that. Similar but different. The way Kelsey cleans our house drives me nuts. Because what Kelsey cleans is not at all what I think is important to clean. Like, we'll be getting ready for, like, one of our parents to come in, and Kelsey will have the shower curtain down, cleaning the shower curtain. And I'm like, why the shower curtain? Like, only one person's gonna see the shower curtain at a time. Like, that's just not, there's a countertop full of, like, little crumbs and crackers. Like, why don't we clean that and then clean the shower curtain? And they're just different. The way she thinks is different than the way I think. You know what being understanding is? Being understanding means that I know she's different and it's not bad. It's good. Being an understanding husband means this, that you understand that your wife, that your significant other, that your spouse, whoever, however you want to phrase these things, that person is different and that's okay. It's being understanding that they don't have to think like you. They don't have to do the things that you want them to do. They can be different and that's okay. The second thing that he uses when he talks about this idea of husband's strengths come from honoring their wives is he uses this term co-heirs. Now, why is co-heirs important? Because you need to realize that just like they're different than you, sometimes they're wrong. And you need to be gracious. But there's that term, co-heirs. So it's not just that they're wrong and I need to be gracious to them. It's that I'm wrong and I need grace with me. The idea that Paul gives you, or that Peter gives you here, I'm sorry, is that there's this equality that comes as being co-heirs, where you understand that both of you are in need of grace. You're in need of God's grace, and just like you're in need of God's grace, you need to extend grace to your spouse, to your wife, to your whoever, however you want to view this. You need to extend grace because grace has been given to you. When you start to do that is when you start to cast honor onto your wife. The more understanding you are, the more that you get that there are other people's opinions and that you're not always right and sometimes you're wrong, and when you're wrong, you're gracious for being wrong and you expect grace, and you start to live that way towards your spouse, towards your wife, man, honor goes to her. All of a sudden, she starts to look better to other people because of how you treat her. Y'all are, and again, I'm talking to men this morning. I'm sorry, I'm a guy. That's what I kind of have to do. Y'all ever been around somebody who just treats their spouse terrible? I mean just awful. And you watch it and you see it go on, and what you think is, well, man, they don't deserve that. They may not deserve great, but they don't deserve that. But have you ever been in the flip side? Where somebody has just treated, I mean, like they've just worshiped the ground that their wife walks on. I mean, like they can do no wrong. They just put this woman up on a pedestal and like, and what do you think? Man, she deserves that. And you kind of get taken back a little bit by it. But what I guarantee you, if you ever look through this and you think through this happens to you, you start to treat that person better because of it too. So husbands, your strength comes from honoring your wife. Now, he goes on in chapter 3, and then there's this verse, verse 8. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Peter jumps next to everybody. All of you, southern way of saying that, all y'all, like everybody. So now he goes and he transitions from wives to husbands, and now he's saying, listen, this is for everybody. This is how all of you should live. And he gives you some things there, that you should have unity, that you should have sympathy, love, and humility. And this is for everybody. What is going on? If I don't know if I'm just like super weird. Did you hear that part about me being super weird? I don't know if I'm super weird or what, but when I'm reading this, I'm like, what is going on? You're talking to wives and you're talking about relationships, and I can get that and I can get behind it. And then you're talking about husbands and you're talking about relationships, and I can get behind those things. I can understand it. But now you're talking about everybody. You're telling everybody to be sympathetic and to be have unity and to love each other and to have humility with each other. Like, what? Why does this even matter so much? And this is what I wish I would have known when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, all the way up until 3 years into my marriage with my wife. What Peter is getting at here is this. Your relationships are way more powerful than you realize. For reference, 1 Peter chapter 4, he skips over and he says this in chapter 4, verse 11. Whoever speaks, speak as one that they are speaking the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or you drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Finally, in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says this again. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of his visitation. Did anybody notice a theme? And I underlined it there, so I mean, hopefully you did. There's this theme through all of these scriptures of glorifying God, of glorifying God, of glorifying God, of letting your actions glorify God. And what all those verses talk about is that your actions, every action in your life, every action in your life either glorifies God or turns people away from God. But if that's true of every action, then what I also understand is that's true of every relationship in your life. Your marriage, your friendships, your dating relationships, your colleague to employee to boss, to every relationship that you have in your life is so much more powerful than I think we realize. See, what I didn't realize as a young man, what I didn't realize as a dating person, into a trying to become a married person and stuff like that, what I didn't realize is that my marriage gives me a profound opportunity to glorify God with my life. I grew up in the can you, right? Can you mentality. Anybody grew up in that mentality? You go to church and like there are things you can do, you can't do. You are in dating relationships. You can hold hands, but you can't kiss. I went to a Bible college. I couldn't walk on the same sidewalk as a girl. Like I somehow like whatever was going to happen on the sidewalk and sparks were going to fly. And next thing you know, because we shared a slab of cement, we were going to like do things that were against God's will. But I mean, like, my life was lived by this idea of, can I, can I? If you've ever worked with students, I love working with students, and sorry if I go back to this, but students always want to know what the line is, don't they? How far can I go? What? All right, so if I have to be home at this time, how long can I really stay? And they like to get right there to that line. And really, we don't change. We like to get right there to that line too, don't we? That's not cheating on my wife. This person's overseas. I'm never actually going to meet him. It's not, listen, I'm not cheating on my husband. I'm not doing anything that's really that bad. I'm just to the line, right? In our relationships, we do that all the time. See, we say, well, I'm not out of bounds in this relationship. There's a Super Bowl term for you. I'm not out of bounds. I'm just on the line. And what I wish I would have known, what changed my marriage to my wife, was when I realized that your relationships are more powerful. It's not a matter of can I. It's not a matter of how close to the line can I get. It's not a matter of whether I can do this or I can't do that, or I can do this and be within God's will, or I can't do this and still be out of God's will. But when I started to realize that my relationship to my wife had the power to reflect God's glory, it changed. It changed how I viewed her. It changed how I treated my kids. It changed everything about it because I realized that every single relationship had the potential for eternity in it. Every relationship you have, I don't care if you're in high school, middle school, if you're dating, if you're married, if you're divorced, I don't care where you are in this. What you have to understand is that phrase right there. Every relationship that you have in your life somehow has the power to affect eternity. And man, when you view that, it changes how you have relationships. It changes your dating game. It changes your marriage. It changes how you view your kids. It changes your friendships, how you talk to people who are you work with, it changes things, because now what I'm starting to realize when I see this phrase is every relationship I have should point people to Christ. Every single one. It should point people to Christ. And it should point them to the idea that they can have a relationship with Him. Because as they're watching my life, His glory is being bounced off of me. And in His glory being bounced off of me, I'm bouncing anything good off of my life onto Him. And I'm honoring Him with my life. So this morning, I have no clue, honestly. I told you I'm terrible at Valentine's Day. I'm terrible at Valentine's Day messages. It's rough. But here's what I can just tell you today. Your relationships are important. Your relationships are powerful. I'm gonna be real transparent for a second. See, I grew up in the, like I said, the can I mentality. And so in dating girls, I always saw how close I could get, right? I'm going to get as close to the line as I can. I'm going to walk right here. I'm not going to cross it. I'm not going to do that until I did. And then when I did, it was like, well, I've done it once, so who cares? All bets go out the window at that point. And man, that affected me from the time I was 17, 18 years old. Until the time I was 3 years into a marriage with my wife. I saw the ugly effects of that all the way through. Because what I didn't realize over here, I didn't realize how powerful my sex life was. I didn't realize that those relationships that I was giving people intimate parts of my life, where I grew up in this mentality where you have to, anybody else, you have to be serious about marrying the person if you're going to date them. That's great, and that's, I understand the reasoning behind that, but what that was causing me to do as a young person is I was saying, well, listen, she's hot. I'm going to marry you. And like, I had no intention of that whatsoever at all, but that's what I thought I was supposed to do, because that's the can you mentality. What I didn't realize is that, man, that relationship, I was more powerful than I realized. That hurt deeper, that carried more of me with it than I intended it to. Because I just thought relationships were flippant. It was what you can do in relationships. It was what you had to do. And it changed how I viewed things when I realized that those relationships are powerful. The impact eternity. So this morning, I don't know where you are. Some of you, your relationship may be great. You can write a book better than anybody in the room on marriage and love and all those things. And if that's you, congratulations, I'll buy the book. I'll be the first one in line to buy it. This morning, if you're here and man, you've failed to see this. Relationships have been disposable to you. They've been check boxes. They've just been another area of your life. I challenge you this morning to see the power that's in that relationship. How you being a good husband, how you being a good wife, how you being a good father, son, daughter, uncle, aunt, whatever your relationship is, has the power to impact somebody's eternity. And to make a commitment that you're going to use your power for God's glory. Father God, we come to you this morning and we just pray that you would speak where my words fail. God, that you would challenge, encourage, strengthen, Lord, but that you would let us know that the relationships we have are impactful. They're important. God, some of us here today bear scars of relationships of the past. And so we know that phrase all too well. But we've never taken the time to think about how the relationships we're living in currently are impacting somebody else. Father, for those of us who are here this morning and Lord, we've fallen short. We've failed to see the potential to glorify you in our marriage, in our friendships, in our dating relationships. God, we come to you this morning and we just ask forgiveness, but we ask that you encourage us and strengthen us to live all of our relationships for your glory. Lord, do what only you can do during this time. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.